We're studying about the church, godly order. I hope you're not being offended by what I have to say. I'm not critical of you or your church as you speak of it. And I certainly am not critical of any of my fellow Christians. I recognize that none of us are following the scriptural pattern perfectly. But I would like to encourage you to try to do so. If it is possible for you to influence those with whom you associate to get closer to the scripture, this will be a benefit to all. If it is not possible, you may find it necessary to sever your connections with an unscriptural association and to find a place where you are free to carry out the Word of God. Remember that if you are a child of God, you are responsible to do His work in His way. If you are not a child of God, what I have to say about the church may interest you, but not exactly concern you. For you see, you do not become a member of God's church by putting your name on a church roll, by being baptized and joining some organization. You must be born into the family of God. You must receive Christ as your Savior. And only those who have received Him are a part of the church, which is His body. I'd like to discuss with you just now something about the financing of the church. Now, finances have been blown all out of proportion in the professing church today. What does money really mean to God? Well, the Lord says, "What do you have to give to me? The silver and the gold are mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Certainly, money is not important to God because of its own value. In fact, in the 16th chapter of Luke, where the Lord Jesus was teaching about these things, He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." And the least that He was talking about here was earthly riches. God esteems money to be the very least. It should not have the place that it has in the professing church. Now, He also esteems it to be a proof of our love for Him whenever it is given freely. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." And again in verse 24, "Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." So when Christians give, if they give properly, if they give with the right motive, they do so to prove their love for the Lord Jesus. Now, you know how important money is to carnal men, men who do not know the Lord, or men who know the Lord but are not going on in touch with Him. You know how important it is in an unspiritual church, but you know also how important it may be to the work of the Lord. So, because the work of the Lord needs to be financed, the Lord has given us some scriptural principles. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, He deals with this subject exhaustively. And the principle in verse 7 of chapter 9 is this: "Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You must remember that God Himself is the supreme giver, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a giver. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. He gave His life. He shed His life's blood. God has given you everything that there is to give. Some of you haven't received all of God's gifts. Some of you have rejected His best gift. You haven't received Christ. You may be religious, but you may never have definitely received the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have, Then what you do in the way of giving, sharing in the financing of the local church should be done voluntarily, and the motive should be your love for the Lord Jesus. Then according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, it should be done in secret. Let not your right hand know what your left hand doeth. It should be done liberally. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, there are 24 superlatives, words which express abundance. And this is the way Christians ought to give. This is the way God gave. But in Philippians chapter 1, he tells us that it ought to be done sensibly. We ought to be careful that we don't support something that we shouldn't. We ought to be careful that we give where it is really needed and in a sensible and orderly way. Now, this is the privilege of believers only. He says, freely ye have received, freely give, Matthew 10 and 8. And he says, as ye abound in faith, so in this grace also, 1 Corinthians 8 and 7. So you see, you must be a believer before you can do anything for God. He says it is more blessed to give than to receive, and he certainly is not going to let you be more blessed than he is. He must give first before you can give to him. Now it is the responsibility of churches to make it possible for Christians to give, not unsaved people. A promiscuous taking up of collections from unsaved people is absolutely unscriptural. We're told this plainly in John's third epistle. He says, for this cause they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. The Lord has supported me ever since 1930 without a salary or an income, and I have never knowingly taken anything from unconverted people. I've never taken up a public collection wherever I hold special meetings. That's one thing that I insist upon, that no public collections be taken. We're told plainly in 1 Corinthians 16 that it's on the first day of the week when the Christians are meeting together to take the Lord's Supper. This is the time that they are to take up their collection. This is the time they are to lay by in store according as God has prospered them. So it's the responsibility of the church to give opportunity for this, to appoint honest deacons to take care of it, according to 2 Corinthians 8, verses 18 to 23, provide for things honestly. It's our responsibility to teach giving. The Apostle Paul said in the 20th of Acts, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, and he mentions among other things that he taught was giving. It's the responsibility of the local company of Christians to meet their obligations promptly, not go begging at the back door of the devil, not trying to get the people of the town to support the church, but supporting it by the Christians themselves, by their own giving. It's the responsibility of the local church to care for the needy one. There should never be any necessity for a poor Christian among us to find his relief through some government agency. Christians should look after one another. It's our responsibility to support those who teach us. Those who minister to us in spiritual things are to be ministered to in carnal things. And then according to Philippians 4, it's our responsibility to send the gospel into the regions beyond. And a church which is operated in a scriptural way will be a church which is interested in missions, the spread of the gospel in this land and in other lands. Now, this need not be done by any begging method. It is not my responsibility to tell you how much to give or to urge you to give. Remember, he says, God loveth a cheerful giver. It's not to be of necessity and not to be grudgingly. The teaching of our Lord Jesus as given through the Apostle Paul's lips in the 20th of Acts is this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Or, as one version puts it, it is happier to give than to get. And if you have understood and appreciated the great gift of God, if you realize how much God did for you in giving His only begotten Son and in giving you so many blessings and mercies daily and in giving you a home eternal in the heavens, you'll be glad. You'll respond liberally. You'll be glad to have a share in getting this to others. If, on the other hand, you've never received God's gift, it might seem pretty hard for you, for someone to expect you to share in paying for religious observances and for religious functions. And you're perfectly right. If you haven't received the Lord Jesus, you have no right to give. This is a privilege of Christians only. If you're responsible for the activities of a professing church of Christ, let me exhort you, brother, to be careful that you carry it on in a scriptural way. The name of the Lord has been dishonored by begging methods. The name of the Lord has been dishonored by financing through all kinds of entertainments and things of this sort. Let us remember that the scriptural order is always the right order. And where Christians are taught properly and are given opportunity to give in a scriptural manner, if they're in touch with the Lord, they will respond. And the work of the Lord will prosper, and the name of the Lord will be honored. God is a giving God. Let us be thankful to Him, and having received His gifts, let us be glad for the opportunity of giving liberally ourselves. Our Father, we ask You to bless Thy word to us. Save the unsaved, we pray. Help Thy dear children. Help us to be grateful. Help us to appreciate what the Lord has done for us. Help us to do what we can to get this word out to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.